Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
How and why are you drunk at 6 o'clock?
Well, the how's pretty self-explanatory, and the why is because I thought we were leaving at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Ergo, Latin, plenty of time to sleep it off.
At the club.
Ooh, I got it. I want him touching the thing.
Rob's licking his ball.
You are?
You gotta just put that thing right.
Okay.
Bro.
I think it's really sexy.
I can't do that guy.
Likely not gonna get nowhere.
Gloria! Gloria!
Who's the Gloria guy? Is that Brett Hull?
I don't know. Kind of sounds like one of the drunk guys from the Howard Stern show. Kind of sounds like Hank.
I think that was Brett Hull.
Singing Gloria?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know the Blues did use Gloria as like their...
That's what it was.
You know.
Didn't the Blues just win the title one of these last couple years?
Yeah, it was
years?
In their parade.
Yeah, Brett Hull.
That's what that was?
That was a loaded Brett Hull.
Brett Hull. Wait, thinking about that, like, if you could get, like, George Brett... Like, I'm just thinking like, of all the great pickle fingers in sports. Just pile them all together. Now that... would be a scene. Get George Brett telling stories about pooping his pants. You get Brett Hull out there singing Gloria. Gronk could be involved in this
true
somehow.
Story.
Lenny Dykstra. I tell you what I've noticed in my days of doing this, you come across a lot of athletes.
Yeah.
Or ex-athletes.
Drinking problems.
High level. Well, hey, I will say, old school baseball guys?
Yeah.
A lot of booze, man.
Yes.
A lot of booze.
Well, there's a lot of downtime.
And... it was like just the thing, you know, 70s and 80s baseball. There's an archetype there.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, there's another level of loaded that they get. Like, it's almost like, I mean, they were a high-level athlete.
Yeah.
A top one percenter in their field. It almost, like, spills over into other walks of other areas of their life. Like,
they're champion.
They're champions at everything.
Yeah.
And one of those is getting wasted.
It's like the Nate Newton theory, right? When he got busted with like the hundreds of pounds of weed, he's like, look, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to be the best at it. So if you're a professional baseball player, you're like, yeah, I'm going to party.
It's just amazing.
And I'm going to be the best at it. And I'm going to get a horrible Coke problem and drink as much as humanly possible.
The world's earliest record of the F word has been discovered.
Well, it's about time.
Now, how far back do you think it was?
I would like to believe that somewhere we found like an early version of the Bible. And the Lord said unto them, F you! And he raiseth up the middle finger thusly. That's what I'm hoping for, is that the prophet Elijah somehow...
It was in the Bible the whole time?
Yes, and that it was just we were overlooking it. I desperately want that to be in there.
It was like written into the margins somewhere, slightly covered by the middle of the book.
Handwritten in there, and F you, and F you, and
cool.
F you.
This was the year 1568.
I'm gonna need a.
Can you believe that? The F word existed in the 1500s, the late 1500s.
Where did it. Is this an English thing?
Scotland.
So, well, of course. Because I will tell you, having lived in Scotland, the Scots do love the F word. Absolutely.
The world's earliest recorded use of the F word lies in a Scottish manuscript penned by a bored student who was in lockdown due to the plague.
Any truth to the rumor that he also drew a penis on his textbook along with the F word?
What word's going to come out of this lockdown?
Yeah. Are you going to make your own new cuss word that comes from the coronavirus lockdown?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I have to write something that's going to be spread around a little bit.
Can you even come up with a new cuss word?
I think you could. Well, I mean, I think you could.
Of course you could.
You just need to get it to catch on.
Well, no.
I mean, you could say something like snoodle flap.
Right.
That's not a real word.
And then all of a sudden, everybody's offended by it.
Snoodle flap. Well,
and they don't know why.
This is my question before we get
into
it.
We all know what a snoodle flap is.
Oh, yeah.
Jerk.
Wizard sleeves.
What?
How does something...
Why?
How does something...
Why?
He was kind of along the right track there, actually, from what my brain went
That's
to.
That's what I was thinking when you were talking about snoodle whatever.
Snoodle flap?
Snoodle... The old snoodle flap. Who hasn't been there before? Saw a snoodle flap or two in my day. How did, like, the... Whether you're talking the S word, the arse, the F... Who decided? Who decided
We've
that?
We've talked about this before.
Yeah, who decides that it's a curse word? Not good to say.
My brother's wife, her
It wasn't
brother.
George Carlin.
Well, I'd also like to point out before you get to this story, can we also point out that you don't have to be offended by it?
No.
Like,
no,
people
you don't.
That are offended by it, like, do you ever ask yourself why that's offensive? And maybe you can just say, well, I'm no longer offended by that, and then it's over?
Thank you.
You don't have to worry about it?
I hate. Well, look, I kind of have a filthy mouth. I'll own that.
You sure do.
Yeah, it drives me crazy. And it's look, I'm not like I'm out here just like every other word is like F this, F that, you're dropping C words. And there's.
Yeah, you're pretty, you cuss a lot more than I do.
Oh, I don't know about that.
You do.
Rob's got a filthy mouth.
We all do.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I definitely own up to my filthiness, but
sure.
I think that you cuss more than I. I don't think you really do sentences without cuss words.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Whereas I like to sprinkle mine in like a nice...
Oh, I see how it is.
Yes, like a nice...
You're
offensive. Look, let's put it that way.
You're the croutons and I'm the lettuce as far as the swear words go.
I think that's right. And Mike's a little salad dressing.
Let's go to a non-partisan...
I'm a little bit heavy salad dressing. I put a little too much on the salad.
Do you feel that there is a difference between Rob and my cursing?
I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sorry, buddy.
Oh, okay.
Truth hurts.
Look, all three of us have filthy, filthy mouths. Sometimes I think I have a worse one than Sook, but no, Sook, you are up there for sure.
And it's great. I'm for one, I'm proud.
I mean, there are studies that say that we're smarter for it. So
that's right.
This is my I
love those studies. Who does that? Science?
Science.
As
love
you can
science.
Clearly there's, tell by this.
There's a
this is much ado about not a whole lot of nothing.
That's You're right. Damn right.
Likely not going to get nowhere.
Time and place, right?
Enough of this spurious, very smart. What? What were you saying? Mike, shut up!
We all know when you go into some situations that you shouldn't, you know.
Cuss?
Yeah. And it's not
a situational thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not hard not to do it. We
that's
do
what
it for
I
four
tell
hours
my,
a day.
That's what I tell my kid.
Exactly.
Like, he'll cut. We were FaceTiming the other day or Zooming or whatever. And he cussed and it's totally fine. But I just tell him, like, hey, you know, you got to be aware of who you're around and when it's appropriate, when it's not.
Yes, I tell that to my kids too, because as they get older, you notice that they start to curse.
Yeah,
and you know,
and it is a little off-putting at first.
Really?
Don't you think?
Oh no!
Like when you hear your kid dropping the F-bomb, you're like, oh. But then of course you realize I do that all the time.
Exactly.
So, therefore, how could I possibly be?
Thank you. And I also realize that when I'm not around, they're doing it all the time too. So I try to just be like, look, just. Time and place, right? Understand if you go into a job interview, you don't meet your boss and you're like, hey, mother bleeper, damn good to meet you. You just, like, time and place. But this idea that people are so outraged by swear words, it drives me bleeping crazy. It really does. And I had to deal with this for years and years with the church crowd. You are so right. You can choose not to be offended by it. And by the way, not all swear words are created equal. If someone's dropping a C word and they're dropping the MFers left and right, fine.
Although, funny enough, the C word means a lot less in places like the UK.
Exactly.
Where it's a way more common curse
word. Oh, yeah, you go over there, people are dropping it left and right.
I love that.
Yeah. Hey, believe me, when, that one, that, when that one comes out, you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, here it's like, whoa.
Yeah, whoa. But if someone is dropping just like the middle of the road curse words, get over it. For Pete's sakes, there's nothing wrong with that. And it drives me crazy when people are like, oh, oh goodness. Oh.
Well,
my ears.
I just want to hear from them. Like, why are they, what is offensive about it?
I don't know.
That you were told to be offended by it.
I enjoy That's now that point. People are using Stoodle Flap.
You're welcome, Portland.
Yes.
Let's spread this.
Let's spread it, you Snoodle Flaps, you.
So you were going to tell a story, though.
Well, don't spread it too far, because then we won't be able to say it anymore.
Oh, no, it's just that my my brother's wife, her brother, nicest kid in the world, Jesse. He's not a kid anymore. Loves Jesse.
I know Jesse.
Jesse has Down syndrome, and Jesse has a whole list of words that he thinks are swear words. So, like, chocolate to him, like a chocolate face, is the equivalent of calling someone, like, a mother blanker.
Oh.
And so it's great. Like, someone will say, like, chocolate, and Jesse be like... And you can see the look on his face, and it's like the most arbitrary thing in the world why that became this horrible word that we're all offended. Whereas, again, to him, you could say chocolate face or snoodle flap, and now we're all offended by it. We need to move past this. I feel like this is one of those things that if we skip 100 years into the future, I hope the idea of swear words are just removed.
I do.
They're just gone.
I think Rob's point is a great one. You would not be offended unless you were told to be offended by it.
Yes.
Well, there's really no tangible reason to be offended by
it. No. If we just grew up with, if you raised a kid and you didn't tell them that that was a bad word, they would never know it was a bad word. It's just a word.
You know what the other thing too about that falls into this category, and a texture is right on with it? Nudity.
Thank you.
Why are we so afraid of seeing someone else naked or being seen naked?
And like, it's a nipple
we've
too,
we've all
right?
seen nudity.
And hashtag free the nipple.
Yeah, like you can show any part of the uppers. You can go like, but as soon as that nipple comes out, now we lose our S.
Right, it's just so weird. It's like you look at yourself naked in the mirror. What's the difference?
Exactly. That's the idea where like if someone sees you naked, whatever. We've talked about this with like nude photos, right? Like
don't flatter yourself. They're not even thinking about it. They're probably like,
really?
All right.
Yeah,
moving on.
I wonder what he's got going on over there. If anyone wants to see me naked, come hang out like with my neighbors, because if you're there for like on a sunny day, you're going to see me outside nude at some point.
I don't care. There's a lot of things I love about my mother.
Yeah.
And one of them is that she cusses like a sailor.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that.
Yeah. Ma, Rob's got a filthy mouth.
She's 77 years old.
That's fantastic.
Always had a filthy
mouth. Old people, young people swearing, it's great.
And I do love it. And my dad rarely will drop a... It's like, whoa, when dad cusses.
It's very similar in my family, by the way.
But my mom, it's like free for all. It's
my
great.
Mom curses a good amount. My dad, when he drops it, you're like, oh.
Whoa.
Yeah, my dad never curses.
Whoa.
Ever.
Okay, so there's a new documentary coming out. And it's about the history of the Scottish people swearing.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about the year 1568 when they discovered this Scottish guy's manuscript where he is just a student and he was bored because they had the plague. So he was all sheltered in place.
Yeah.
And so he made the first on record reference to the F word.
And
1568.
Do we have the context? Is there like a sentence, or did he just like scrawl it somewhere?
Good question.
Because I need to know where like he said it or he wrote it down. So clearly that had some meaning. Where did that come from? Where is the origin of the word? Because I've seen stuff on this, and there's a lot of theories and like, hey, this is as far back we can trace it. But I've never seen a definitive answer of. This is what that word means.
Okay,
and where it comes from.
Here's what it reads. So the manuscript contains William Dunbar's epic poem, The Flighting of Dunbar and Kennedy, in which two poets trade insults with one another. As the pair trade blows, Kennedy brands Dunbar a wan funling.
A wan?
Yeah, W-A-N. And then they spell it F-U-K-K-I-T.
Hmm.
Funling. This is a different time.
Funling.
Funling. Yeah, so I don't understand any of it. But that is the first
Well, it is in Scottish too, right?
Written record of the F word. Yeah.
They've got weird words over there where they just kind of start mashing stuff together.
So we give credit to the Scots, huh?
That's the earliest surviving record of it. Now, what do you think somebody...
That must mean that it existed beforehand.
Well, for sure. Yeah, you put it in. But what, you know, like think about to the 1300s. You're walking around Rome and you kick somebody in the balls.
Yeah.
What do they say?
Snoodle flap. I don't know. I don't know what someone says. And well, like where did
ouch.
Well, and the middle finger, right? Because isn't that kind of, that's like the, you know, it's the same thing.
That's very Americanized, though. Other places, it's a different gesture.
Yeah, but
other countries, like a thumbs up is like the middle finger.
But we all have the same.
It's an F-U.
It all means the same thing. It's like the most universal thing in the world is the F-U. And it started in the 1500s with the Scots, but it had to have started before that because obviously he called someone that. What if it was just like three or four dudes, like some guys from Glasgow, and it was just something that they made up? It was their snoodle flap. And then here we are centuries later, and it's one of the most prevalent words. Like Quentin Tarantino wouldn't have a movie career without it.
Apparently the Romans had their own middle finger. Like, you know, I don't mean to flip you off, but
yeah,
they F you.
It's happened before.
And they called you. Yeah, that's true. They called it digitus impudicus.
Really?
And I find that delightful.
But it had the same meaning?
Yes. Shameless, indecent, or offensive finger. That's what I meant.
Interesting. And why that finger?
I don't know.
Why is it and my when first did it, finger?
Is it because it's really powerful because it's towards the middle of the hand?
It is.
Directly in the middle of the hand?
Well, it's the longest finger. It's the one that's most like, ha! Like right there, like in your...
Right, now, if by the rest way, of the fingers are down, each other off. It stands out really well, too.
Yeah, it really does.
If you were to put your pointer finger up, you'd be like, yeah, okay.
Now, when flipping off, do you do thumb out or do you do the thumb in?
I do thumb in.
Oh, when we were kids, there was talk that if you did it with thumb in...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That you were... That's kind of a weak way to do it. But so then they had the knuckle. You were supposed to do the knuckles out.
Yeah.
You know, the surrounding knuckles.
Because there's multiple ways. You can have thumb in, thumb out. You can have all the fingers curled down. Or you can have, like you said, kind of the half. Like just the knuckles.
I go thumb out. I'm just...
I do the finger circles. So I curl them all together and I go.
Oh, see, that's pretty
weak.
So
you make a fist, right?
Mike, you have a weak finger.
Mike does the fist and then the extended finger.
Isn't this more powerful to you? Look at what I'm sending you
right now. No, it looks weird to me with the thumb.
Look at that. Look at this.
What does the thumb mean?
It's just there.
Also, your middle finger isn't standing out as much because you've got the bent knuckles.
The thumb's there for balance.
Yeah, but you can see what I'm doing to you.
Right, but this one, like, look at how much it's sticking up here. It's
yeah, but that's like how a little kid would do it. You got to be a man. Like this.
I'm going to keep flipping people off like I want to flip people off.
I feel like
off.
Rob's is more of a sophisticated, you know,
it's like pinky out
finger,
while you're drinking.
Whereas Mike's is like a punk, like metal, like in your face, like death metal. It's adorable because when my mom flips you off, the closer it is to her face, the more mad she is at you.
Ooh.
Like if she just flipped, because she's a flipper-offer, little bull. And if she's just generally mad at you, she gives you one chubby finger, right? And it's just out there. But when she's really upset at you, she'll put it right here, like right next to her face.
I can totally see this.
That's when you know she's upset, and then she'll shake it a little bit at you.
All right, are we breaking? We are. Yes, we've got a break. We went way over.
No,
I do have the history.
Shocking. Each other off. Yeah.
I have the history of the middle finger.
Hey, F you.
And did you know your anus is like a fingerprint?
I did not.
We're going to learn about that next on The Fam.
Club 1080 on The Fan is brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today, and here's to a better you.
Can I get a hot tub?
So we're discussing cuss words and flipping the bird. I know you're probably shocked to learn of this.
Whoops.
Such material.
Wow. Hopefully someone's kid isn't getting an education. Or you know what? Maybe it's good that they are.
Yeah, ask yourself why you're offended by anything.
Hey, Karen, it's okay that your kid is getting an education right now.
Calm down.
You do have to.
And trust me, your kids have heard much, 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 much worse on the
playground.
Have
they played Fortnite?
Yeah, exactly. They've heard snoodle flap before.
Yes, they have.
All right, well, there's a...
They haven't even seen a snoodle flap before.
There's an anthropologist who says the phallic, the middle finger is one of the most ancient insult gestures known. Goes all the way back.
I heard something about this, and it was on an HBO, or I guess it wasn't a documentary. It was an HBO special, and someone had an explanation, but it seemed a little far-flung, and I don't know if this is going to be it or not.
I'm intrigued. Goes back to the Greeks, and the middle finger is the penis, and the curled fingers on either side, which Mike doesn't use because he has no balls, are the testicles.
Oh.
And by doing that, you're offering someone a phallic gesture. It is saying, this is a phallus that you are offering. And that is a very primeval display.
I have not heard of that before. The one I heard was, remember Robert Wall, the actor? He did like Arliss.
Yeah.
He was in Batman.
Yeah.
Anyway, that guy. He had an HBO special called like Explain This or something. It was like he taught like a class at a college, and he kind of taught like a weird version of history, kind of fun little facts. And he said that it was like an English like medieval archery thing. That if you were caught as an archer, that they would cut off your middle finger so that you couldn't pluck the bow anymore. And so that when archers would go onto the battlefield, they would flip off the other side.
To show that they had the finger.
To show that they still had their finger.
Uh-huh.
And
interesting.
So I heard that, and I kind of was like, that seems a little...
That is not in here.
That's a little like... He said, she said kind of thing.
A little bit, right? Whereas that one, going back to the ancient Greeks, I feel like that one has some more clout to it. I do like
also,
the idea of the phallic symbol as well.
Monkeys apparently used to, like in South America, monkeys. It's
get
a known,
right the hell out of town.
Yeah, it's a known...
Monkeys flip each other the bird?
No, they just shoot their erect, you know, weens up there and... And so it's supposed to mimic that.
Oh, I thought for it, I was like, oh my God, monkeys, already the greatest thing ever. But can you imagine monkeys just flipping each other off?
No, monkeys do it with the real thing.
Yeah, well, that's even better. But, you know, let's try to be civilized here, people.
The first documented, again, documented in the U.S., the first middle finger we have comes from a pitcher for the Boston Bean Eaters. And they say that. So he was in a team photo and he was flipping the bird.
Wait.
What?
Yeah.
That's the name of a team?
Yeah. Boston Bean Eaters, yeah.
Anyone else immediately
Wait, no,
go
Boston Beans.
The...
And...
Oh, I went the other way.
Yeah.
I went
right on 164th, by the way, there's a coffee shop in Vancouver called the Human Bean. And every time I drive by it, I laugh. It's very like fourth grade of me, but I can't help it.
It's a little chain. There's one in Beaverton, too.
Is it the Human Bean? I'm like, do they know? I mean, come on. The Human Bean?
Do you know what we're talking about, Rob?
Well, yeah. Not an idiot.
You were looking around like...
Jesus.
I can't help. And so when you went Bean Eater, I'm...
The Bean Eaters. At least they're not the Snoodle Flaps.
The Boston... No, that was their arch rival, the Atlanta Snoodle Flaps.
What about the Atlanta Snoodle Flappers? That changes it, doesn't it?
That's the first time was the Boston Bean Eaters, huh?
Yeah, so it was a team photo, and he was flipping the bird, and they say that it probably arrived in the U.S. with the Italians. The Italians brought it over. And that year was 1886.
Huh.
First middle finger in the United States.
I would have thought it would go back further than that.
Does not. Well, I mean, documented.
It certainly caught on, though, didn't it? Again, I think that that is something that is universal. And when you were a kid, wasn't that like the first like sign of rebellion that you ever did was flip someone the bird? I remember like being like in the third grade and getting in trouble because I flipped off the bus driver. And at the time, I thought I was like the most rebellious person ever.
Oh, you rebel, you.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, watch this.
Screw you, bus driver, man, even though you get me to school.
Except I did it when I didn't even think she was looking. She caught me in that giant rear view of hers. And then I got kicked off the bus. But still, I remember at the time being like, watch this. I'm so cool. Middle finger. That was like the first like sign of rebellion when you were a little kid.
Oh, yeah, that is true. The Human Bean gives you a chocolate-covered espresso bean to eat with your coffee.
Do they really?
Yeah.
I like this guy. He's like, that's my favorite pickup line. This is a phallus I'm offering. That's fantastic. Also, someone taking umbrage with our instruction to you is to not be offended by cuss words because, well, they're just words.
Yeah.
Just choose to not be offended. And he says, by that rationale, words have no meaning. And then he says, you have a responsibility to be more responsible. That we do. Seth Everett has...
You have a responsibility to your audience.
He
to
said
be
that
more
years ago.
Your show's better than this.
Yeah, our show is better than this. But it's really not. Because I think that the difference is, like with some of these cuss words, they don't really mean anything.
No.
Like, no, they can be used as, like, the F word can be used as, like, doing it, you know.
Sure.
Or S word could be poop, right?
Well, the F word can be anything. That was a great, like, Bernie, who's that? The late, great Bernie Mac. He used it all in one. You can be it can be a verb, it can be a noun, and you can use them all in one sentence.
But they're
sentence.
Not specific, so why are you offended?
Exactly. So someone said, like, bring up, like, the N-word is horrific because it was used
exactly
as a demeaning thing for a specific group of people. Or if you want to get into any sort of racial slur or, you know, some anti-Semitism stuff.
That's right.
That's all, but the F-word isn't singling out any group, or neither is you know, the S-word or you know, saying arse or whatever.
It's all inclusive.
Yes. It's for everybody. We all... You know, Jew and Gentile alike, black, Asian, white. Let's all embrace it. We all love it.
I agree. I think
so
we're right on this.
Let's all go have a cup at the human being and just relax. We can all go eat a chocolate-covered bean and just be happy.
They do have a good coffee, too.
I didn't know that
Among
was a chain.
Among other things.
I didn't know that was a chain. I just know that every time I go by it, it makes me smile.
Here's a question. Somebody asks on the text line, what finger do you use to scroll on your iPhone? He says, my wife uses her middle finger, and I just can't bring myself to follow her lead.
I use my thumb.
I'm Very a thumb scroller.
I, too, am a thumb scroller. However, do you ever find yourself doing this, like, with your pointer finger? Like, kind of doing one of these?
No, I think if I use the other finger, I just have the thumb higher up on the phone. I hold it like this, and then the thumb over here is working.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah,
I think most people...
Double snoodle flaps.
I think most people scroll with their thumb, don't they?
I feel like this could be like the stand-up sit-down wiping thing.
Maybe
a lot of people scroll with different fingers, and
Text
we just don't
us,
know.
55305. What are you scrolling with?
Well, don't you think this is an old man move to kind of... It's like one-finger typing.
Yeah.
Like you're just typing out... That's true of the apps and stuff on the phone, too.
Well,
right?
the thumb makes the most sense because you can do the one hand. I'm not a two-hand phoner. I don't know about you, but I'm a one-hander. You hold it in the hand, and then you use the thumb. I suppose if you're going to go two, then maybe the pointer finger makes more sense.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, look at how I do it. I'll hold it like this.
Yeah.
And I usually scroll with this.
Yeah.
But then I'll sometimes scroll with this.
That's the double snoodle flap.
Yeah.
You do the double snoodle flap.
I do.
That's controversial a little bit. I don't think a lot of people do that.
Probably not. I mean, I usually hold it one hand like this, but if I have my other hand on it, I will use that other thumb. Double thumb for double the speed.
I do the reverse claw. You guys seen that technique?
No, I don't think
I have. Back in the Halo 2 days, actually.
I don't think I'm familiar with the reverse claw. Is that like the rudder? What is the reverse claw?
Sometimes
I know
go,
my reference totally went over your head, but people used to hold the Xbox controller and call it the claw.
Yeah, man.
Because they would hold their fingers over it in a weird way, and it was the nickname for the
Why do you think that
controller.
Went over my head? I also do the 1-3-1.
Don't know. Don't know what that one is.
Blowing your mind, aren't I?
Yeah, you are. Now, I will tell you that... Is that
this? 1-3-1?
No, that's something
that's
else.
That's the shocker.
No, that was not the shocker. Unless you were... Doing something really strange.
That's a form of a shocker.
This is the shocker.
But again,
it's all
it's really more suited for, like, if we're really thinking about it. What you think, Big J? What you think, baby? We think, baby.
I guess there is more room upstairs.
At
BYU, we did end up having that put on our offensive line t-shirts.
What is happening?
Because the shocker. Then the coach didn't know what it meant.
Why would you have that on there?
We had one of our linemen that thought it was like, this was like probably when this first started to come about and it became popular. And he thought it was the greatest thing in the world. He was a big fan. He was someone that would talk about it quite a bit. And so every year they would let like each position group design a shirt, right? And you'd make it. And that was like your workout shirt for your position group. And he was mainly just a scary dude, and no one was going to tell him no. And he decided that that should go on the sleeve of the shirt. And our offensive line coach was like a gajillion years old and had no idea what that was. And so on the Brigham Young University O-line
t-shirt.
Did you
think it was Star Trek? Just sideways?
We did have that. We did have that on the side of our shirt.
That's cute.
Yeah.
I mean, not cute, but it's cute that the coach.
Yeah, he did.
He's like, what?
But I was saying, the middle finger, it's been known in the Secanic clan for years and years. My dad is a notorious, he doesn't realize, but he flips everyone off. So my dad talks with his hands a lot. He was an attorney.
Oh.
And so he kind of shakes his hand when he's talking to you. Or if he's pointing something out and he does this, it's a bit awkward because he'll do it at restaurants a lot. Like he'll hold up the menu and if he's asking a question about something on the menu, he points to it while he does his little handshake. He can't help it, but there's one finger that sticks out above all the others.
So he points with it as he's flipping them off. Like
he points with the middle finger.
Oh, hilarious.
Yes. And so if it's a...
Well, most people know that he's not.
But if you're questioning something like on a bill or whatever, he'll be like, there's times where he'll be like, hey, excuse me, can you come here for a second? I don't think I ordered this. And then he'll point to it with his little finger shake. And there's a lot of like, our food's getting spit in for sure. Because he can't help it. He flips people off all the time.
Now, do you tell him about this?
Yeah, he knows, and he just can't.
He just doesn't.
Well, he shrugs it off. He's like, no, I don't. I'm like, Dad, yes, you do.
He's like, you.
We've known it forever.
That's a classic Secanic move right there.
Some people do this. I think a lot of people do this. When they rest their hand on their face, like say you're resting on a table, some people like leave their middle finger up like this.
Yeah.
And it's just like they're not doing it intentionally. It's just how they rest. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you look like you're flipping everyone off as you face that way.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all we have on flipping people off.
Yeah, I wish this was right before a Nimmick show.
Now, and I mean this sincerely, are we to break or are we on time?
We are to break.
That's what I thought. When we come back, there's a couple people in prison that want out because of COVID, and I want to tell you who they are.
Okay.
Because one thinks he can help with COVID.
Really?
Yes.
He's got the key?
So we'll get to that next. Here's Mike.
Brought to you by Better You Today Weight Loss. Here's to a better you. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com. Hit get started today. And here's to a better you.
Can I get a hot tub?
Okay, well, I've got a story about your anus being the new fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to have to wait for tomorrow because... I'm certain that we'll have a lot to unpack there.
Yeah, that's not something that you can
just toss it all in.
You can't cram it in there.
No, willy-nilly.
I mean, you could, but...
We're not going to.
Not when it comes to that. You don't cram that. No. You take your time. You massage that. You massage that segment and let it breathe.
So there are two people who want out of prison.
Lubricate it.
And, well, I guess we would all maybe do this if we were in prison. We'd be like, hey, there's a pandemic. You should let me out.
Look, I'm going to put...
It's not safe.
I'm sure this dude's a giant doucher, but I'm going to put a...
Well, I've got two of them.
Well, giant douchers, but I'll say it right now. If you're in prison,
You'd try this.
I don't fault you for trying to get out in any shape or form.
Yeah, Tiger King guy did this too.
Exactly.
But one is R. Kelly.
Oh, really?
Yes, he actually... tried for his release.
How can he help?
What good is R. Kelly doing? Is there a bunch of 14-year-old lonely girls right now? R. Kelly's like, I think I can help.
No, what R. Kelly said was he petitioned the judge that he can't meet with his attorneys because, you know, he's got ongoing litigation.
Yeah. Well, again, that's what happens when you have underage statutory. Well, it's not an underage sex. You're a statutory rapist. Yeah, that's going to cause some problems.
Yeah, so I'll just tell you, the judge denied his bail and his release.
Shocker.
Because she said he's a high flight risk. She thinks he would run, and she's so right about that.
Oh, 100%.
But he said...
Can I also put this one on there? I don't fault you for running either. R. Kelly's a piece of crap, but if I had a bunch of money and I was going to go spend the rest of my life in prison, yeah, I'd run too. I don't fault him for that. Why we got to keep you in prison.
She says, while I'm symptomatic to the defendant's understandable anxiety about COVID-19, he has not established compelling reasons warranting his release. The defendant is 53 years old, 12 years younger than the cohort of older adults defined by the CDC as high risk for severe illness from COVID. Although the defendant has had surgery during his incarceration, he has not explained how his surgical history places him at higher risk of severe illness. So she said he cannot fly.
Oh.
He believed he could fly. She said nay.
Can I say that that is cheesy, but I thoroughly enjoyed it?
Thank you.
I don't know if anyone else did, but I liked that.
Thank you. And cheesy is the right adjective there.
Well, it's a very dad joke.
Yes.
You know, that's Rand made that joke somewhere.
Yes.
Rand made that joke to Nance, and then it was all good.
And the other guy who wants out, and this is the guy who says that he can do some good, is Pharma Bro, Martin Shkreli.
Oh, yeah. He was like the most hated man in America for a while.
Well, because he was the guy who took the, he was nicknamed Pharma Bro because he bought the rights to a drug and jacked up the price and charged the olds hundreds of dollars.
Yeah,
horrible human being.
And it was a rare drug, but the people that needed it, they had to have it. It was a life-saving medication.
Yep.
And yeah, he jacked it up to, you know, 1,000%.
I mean, the worst type of human, this guy. But anyway, he wrote in a, what do you call I mean, it's not like a pen letter, but he wrote something in prison.
Okay.
What do you call prison writings?
I don't know what you would call that. How about just prison writing? A manifesto, perhaps?
All right. In his manifesto, that doesn't sound right. He said...
He's not the Unabomber.
Medicinal chemists, structural biologists, enzymologists, mm-hmm. and research biology departments at every pharmaceutical company should be put to work until COVID-19 is no more. Being released to the post-COVID world is no solace to even the incarcerated. As a successful two-time biopharma entrepreneur, having purchased multiple companies, invented multiple new drug candidates, filed numerous and clinical trial applications, I am one of the few executives experienced in all aspects of drug development. He noted that he does not expect to profit from any prospective coronavirus-related treatments.
So this guy is saying that the smartest people in the world, right, in every company that deals in this is, and there's what, 50 like separate ones that people are testing right now, but he is going to get out of prison and then he's going to have
he says the he's cure to this. He's among those smarts and you should let him out to battle the coronavirus. Now, you know he's only serving 7 years.
That's it?
Yeah. That's it.
It's better than nothing.
7 years in prison. That's all that guy got.
Yeah.
It is better than nothing, but that's not good enough, in my opinion.
No. But chances are, again, when you're a farmer, bro, and you've got a lot of money, you probably had really, really good attorneys.
He says, please give me a chance to show what I'm capable of.
Oh, I think you already showed what you're capable of. Right?
Totally.
I mean, that's... We saw. And that's why you're in
we
prison
know.
For 7 years.
All right, John wraps it up next on The Fan.
I'm kind of broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip. Everybody knew you didn't give no lip to Big John.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Well, a texter has one-upped me in the dad joke department because I find this truly sterling. He's we're talking about R. Kelly wanting out of prison because of COVID-19.
Yeah.
And he said R. Kelly thinks he can get COVID-19 and he doesn't want it, but if it were COVID-15, he'd be all about it.
Well played.
That's fantastic.
That is.
I'd just like to tell that gentleman, whoever you are, that was great. It made my day. Hello, John. How are you?
That made me laugh. That was funny. I enjoyed
it's
that.
Good joke.
No, I just saw this, I hate to poop all over the segment, but this one hurts. The great John Prine
passed
away
died.
From COVID-19.
How old was he?
Ooh.
He was up there.
Yeah, he was old. But I loved me. Well, I still do. Loved me some John Prine. I think he was 81. Let me look that up.
I thought he was older.
He was that old?
John, I think he's older.
John Prine was pretty old. I'm going to look this up.
Wow. I didn't realize he was that old.
Oh, no. He was 73.
Yeah, see, older.
Yeah.
Man, that's brutal. John, the great John Prine is dead.
Yep.
Rest in peace.
So many great hits. One of the truly legendary singer-songwriters.
Very unique.
My favorite, Wish You All the Best, is my favorite John Prine song. Maybe not the most popular, but I highly recommend giving that a twirl out there if you're looking for some John Prine.
Do we, now, no disrespect to Mr. Prine, but we haven't really had a major celebrity pass away from COVID.
Joe Diffie.
Well, that's my question. Who is the leading, is it Joe Diffie? Is he the most famous?
John Prine's way more famous than Joe Diffie.
Yeah, I think so it's John Prine.
Is it Prine?
Yeah, right now it is.
Yeah.
Well, who else?
That's what I'm asking.
Well, if Boris Johnson croaks, it's him.
Yeah.
He's the UK Prime Minister, and he's in ICU. But right now it's Prine. It's got to be.
Do you think, well, the Prime Minister, I mean, he's certainly higher profile. Is he a bigger celebrity than John Prine?
Well, he's certainly more relevant now, but maybe not. Maybe not.
So
yeah, worldwide, right. Prine may be that. He may, even if some, right now, Prine is the guy, and even if Boris Johnson, it still may end up being John Prine. I mean, he's a big deal in the music world.
And it was because of COVID.
Yeah, he got COVID.
He got the COVID.
A couple days, well, I don't know, maybe a week ago or something.
And he smoked like a banshee, too.
Yeah.
Huh, interesting.
So far, we had the guy from, was it Fountains of Wayne?
Yeah, he died. Right? He was in his 50s.
Yeah, he was fairly young.
I don't think, unless we know your name, I don't think you can rise above it if you're just the guy from.
Yeah, I don't remember his name either.
No, I don't.
But,
yeah. But I just knew the band.
And he's famous because he was the lead singer of that group.
Right, but if you're the Edge, okay. But if you're just that other guy from U2, you're down
the,
a notch.
The drummer from U2. What's his name?
I mean, I want to say, isn't it
Adam something?
Is there a Larry? Is there a Larry?
Is there a Larry? Do
what?
I hear a Barry?
Larry?
I think there's a Larry in U2.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. There's a guy in U2 named Larry?
Up.
Okay.
I think U2 drummer's name is Larry.
I'm looking up the U2 drummer. Yeah, it is. It's Larry Mullen Jr.
Larry.
Yeah.
How the hell did you pull out Larry of Larry Mullen Jr.? What?
I don't know, but my wife is yelling down the stairs right now that it's Larry Mullins Jr., so she knew it. I don't know. Maybe I'd heard her say it or something.
Isn't there an Adam in U2?
Yeah, Adam Clayton.
Yeah, that guy.
And then the Edge and Bono.
And then Bono and the Edge. God.
You know what? He pulls it off, though.
Who? Which one?
Calling himself the Edge.
Well, I don't know if he does. I think he's awesome. I do think he's awesome.
Then
but boy, Bono pulls it off.
Well, his real name
the
is
Edge
his
doesn't.
Real, I don't remember what his last name is. His first Bono's real name is Paul. I don't remember what his last name is, but he's Paul
and Larry.
Am I both of you wrong?
Where did he get Bono?
It's Paul David. Is it Hewson? That's Bono's name. I'm gonna look and see what the Edge is.
I've never gotten used to the Edge. That being his name.
David.
Give me your call.
David and Paul.
Give me your call on this. Give me your call on this. Which was a greater... Both of these guys pulled it off, but the changing your name to a one-word thing, both of these guys absolutely owned it and pulled it off. Who did it better? Sting or Prince?
Prince.
What about Slash?
More than Sting?
Yeah.
Prince.
Although Sting... Really? Well, what is Prince's real name?
No one knows.
See, Sting needed
Sting,
to come
everyone
up with
knows.
Gordon Sumner. He had to. Like, there was. You can't be a famous rock star and be named Gordon Sumner.
What was Prince's real name?
I don't know what his real name is, but that's your answer, is that I know what Sting's name is. I don't know what Prince's is.
No consideration at all for Slash?
No.
I mean, not in those two. Not with those two.
I'm just talking about cool names
The one who probably did it.
You know what? Prince was his real name. His name was Prince Rogers Nelson.
Get right the hell out of town.
Prince was his actual first name.
Well, then it doesn't. He just chopped the rest. What about Madonna?
Yeah.
Madonna's a good one. Cher.
What's Madonna's real name?
looking that up. I don't know what Madonna's real name is.
Do the walk alone. Madonna Louise Cicconi.
Oh, so that is her real name, too. I assumed that Prince and Madonna both came up with it. No.
Can we just stay on the air and give out hot facts like this, yeah. Mike, all night? Can we just do this?
Well, if Prince was his real name, then Sting wins by default.
Yes, he does.
You might be right about that. All right, we got to go. Have a good night.
All right, go Sting.
Love you, buddy. ESPN Radio next. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
My brother has his wife on all fours behind the couch. I was like, what is a redick?
I don't know.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.